Hello, future friends.
And welcome to the Be My Friend podcast.
And welcome back. I'm Tiff, and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Tyler.
That's me. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Be My Friend. Today we've got two webtoons to talk about that are new, and we talked about them just a couple of weeks ago. But before we dig into it, while you're here, if you haven't already, please like this video and subscribe to our channel. And while you're at that, look down below at all the links we've got. You can join our Discord, follow us on all the things, listen to us in all the places, and you know, all that good stuff. Just had to get the plug out of the way.
If you ever have any ideas for us to talk about on our show, please come over to our Discord and let us know. We're going to be starting off with our first webtoon called
The Strongest Florist. That's right. We are coming back to talk about these after we did our little introductory video a couple weeks ago because we're loving them so much and there's so much going on already here at the beginning.
We actually really enjoyed these two, so we are sticking with them. And this one is pretty hilarious. I think it just keeps getting funnier each week. His facial expressions make this webtoon.
It's almost simplistic in its humor. It doesn't have to be like really, it's really easy to understand why it's such a charming and fun webtoon as soon as you get into it. And like we just said, it's still new. We're only going to be going up to episode 9 today. So let's say that you haven't read it yet, go read up to episode 9 and then, you know, come and chat with us about it.
You got elves, you got angry grizzly bears that you're beating with big flower seeds.
with the tree seed. It's like this giant seed.
You got this man that's supposed to be
an MMA fighter.
Yes, I always want to call him a boxer.
His dad owns a gym. He's supposed to be like a big, burly fighting man, which he is.
But boy just wants to open a flower shop. And he just rocked these elves' world in this video game. So now, not only does he have the goal to open a flower shop, but he also has to save the elves, plant a seed to help this big tree to grow.
He took on.
And he is very stressed out. He's like, how am I gonna do all of this and open my flower shop?
His main concern and goal is definitely his flower shop, but he has befriended the elves. They gave him this cute little flower necklace, which was adorable, and he's wearing it because he's a big softy, as we've established. It's pink.
I laugh every time because he's so muscular, and then there's just this pink four-leaf clover around his neck.
It's adorable. I love him so much. Yeah, he's on this quest now. So he's out here trying to bring this mother tree back to life, but he's also trying to open his shop. And the spirit is with him still, that spirit that he had last time.
That he unlocked from the flower.
Yes, the spirit he unlocked from the flower that he thought was going to be kind of annoying. Well, it's still there. He's trying to figure out where he could plant this mother tree, and the spirit says, well, I know a place. And he's like, great, let's go. And the spirit goes, I forgot.
I seriously get huge, I said this last time, huge Zelda vibes. Like with the big tree, that's within the first part of that video game. And then the spirit reminds me of Navi so much. I feel like Navi would say that. Like you're just waiting for her to tell you where to go and she just keeps repeating the same thing over and over and over. And you're like, you're no help. That's basically her. She's like, actually, I forgot.
Okay, great. Cool. Love that. He's doing his thing. And we already touched on a grizzly bear appearing. Well, grizzly bear comes up and he does not have the stats to take down this grizzly bear, but I did love that the entire point of the game is that the grizzly bear was scared of his face. He's sitting there like a level 8 and this grizzly bear is like, ooh, I don't know, man.
We have these other people in the background that are watching that weird and plotting.
Cult of people that are in Luxie Forest, but you don't really know what they're doing.
You know that they want his weapons and they want to take him down. They don't like him because he befriended all of the elves. Anyways, May became a part of that cult, which is our other big character, and her goal in life life is to hook up with an elf.
She just loves those elves.
And I just love her lines because I think it's us when we fangirl over Webtoon boys. She's like, I will finally meet a sexy elf.
Literally. Girl, you go get yourself an elf, all right? I support you on your quest.
We understand you on a deeper level.
We do. And they're all, she's with this group. They're watching him take on this grizzly bear, which eventually he does take the grizzly bear out by using the mother tree's seed. And when he gets done with it, it comes up as a title for him is Seed Murderer.
I know, and May was just saying, I think he has a pure heart. Yeah. And then she sees him murder this bear and she's like, he's a demon.
But she still goes over to talk with him. Everyone else bails. They're like, I gotta go watch the news. After they see that, they don't want to talk to Jae-ho anymore. They're like, never mind. I don't think we need to befriend him. I got other stuff going on.
It was a little graphic. I mean, there's blood dripping from the seed.
Yeah, that poor seed. It's just, it got used as a weapon, but it worked. It took him out. Smart thinking. He had a seed and he took it out, you know?
But May goes over and she just kind of wants to understand him a little bit more and I guess kind of use him to get close to these elves. Like, that is her main goal.
Yeah, so. She recognizes he has this relationship that she too would like to have with the elves. So she realizes, okay, there's something more to him. I'm going to go talk to him. And as soon as she approaches him, she's instantly terrified of him. Still, like, she's like, please don't hit me. Please don't hurt me. And Jae-ho's just like, yo, like, what's she doing over here?
He just turns around like, so angrily.
He has no idea how terrifying he is. After trying to make weird small talk with him for a while, because she just is so scared of him, she just blurts out like, hey, can I come with you? And of course, we all know Jae-ho still has this heart of gold. So he's like, hell yeah, dude, you can come with me. That would be great. I should have someone come with me. And he's like, yeah, we'll get out of Luxy Forest, but I just got to do something real quick. And then he proceeds to stare at flowers for like 4 hours. And May is just like,
yeah,
she's staring at him like, what's wrong with you? And I loved how he thought, oh, why is she staring at me? I get it. It's because I'm cute.
Yes, I know. And he just like turns. He's like, it's because she thinks I'm cute.
And I'm like, you are cute, Jae-ho. I love you. He's so cute. Everyone
and then
needs
she goes,
to
oh my
see.
God, he's giggling in a sinister way.
I can't.
Oh my gosh, I would love to meet him.
I can't with how oblivious he is. Exactly. I just want to like take him and be like, you are now my friend. I just love him so much.
You are our friend.
He is so precious. Jae-ho, be our friend.
This weird blonde character in this armor comes out of nowhere. He thought he could battle this elf. You know, his level's pretty high.
Right. The entire idea behind Luxy Forest is that these people start there and then they can't get through it because it's really hard to defeat these elves. So this new player comes into the game, and actually this is after a really funny moment where Jae-ho gets home and his dad confronts him about playing the game. He's like, I knew it. You're playing that coffin game. And Jae-ho has to completely psych him out and convince him that, oh no, I'm going to be the best fighter in New World. And then his dad is like, so proud of you. Proud of you, son.
So proud.
And then he lets him keep playing. But then, yeah, we're introduced to this new player. I just had to get that out there. Just completely tricked him.
Funny.
His dad's just like, all right, okay, yeah, you can play your game.
You go be the best fighter.
But yeah, the entire idea behind Luxy Forest is that these players go in and they can't get through it because of the elves. They're all terrible. They're gonna take them out. Nobody ever tries to just like befriend an elf. They're always just trying to kill the elves. And obviously Jae-ho went the other way. So this character, this high level, I think he was level 134, has never died before in the game. He's like got all these great stats. He's got all these good weapons. And he comes
in there like golden armor.
Yeah. Like, he comes in there like, I'm gonna rescue everyone and get them out of Luxy Forest. They're gonna give me real world money to do it, and it's gonna be a breeze. But like Doof said, he comes upon this elf and Yeah, he's like running away from the elf because he's terrifying. I don't know why people think they could take him on.
This elf just looks like a normal elf.
He's a cutie pie. He's just this little guy.
Yeah, he looks like he's just out for a little, you know, a little stroll on in the garden. And all of a sudden his eyes are glowing and he looks so scared. And he's like, what's wrong? And he like grabs his shield and this guy's running away.
As he's running, he tramples flowers. And that's what brings J-Ho to the scene.
Yes, they stumble upon where they are and trample the flowers, and that is it. And he's like, I'm getting involved. You just stepped on my flowers. And then they start fighting, but we see that it's a little hard for him because he is not at the level as this blonde warrior is. So,
no, J-Ho can't take him out. He's trying, but he cannot take him out.
As they're fighting, he's like swinging his sword around and cuts some more flowers, and he's like, now I'm even more mad.
J-Ho's using his real world abilities to fight, to go like back and forth and dodge him constantly. And in the midst of all this, even though he can't really fight this warrior as well as the warrior can fight J-Ho, he manages to, I think, distract him enough that the elf actually comes back and stuns him to a point where he can't do anything.
And that is when J-Ho defeats him and, you know, kills him. And Mei's just like, did he just
with the seed
kill that man?
This poor seed. He just keeps using the seed to murder things.
The bear blood was still on it when he was killing him. And I'm like, oh my God.
But he kills this guy, this 134 level dude. It takes him out. And then because of that, the dude drops his weapon, which he had like a really nice shield. And I think he had some other stuff that got dropped. And because he beat this really high level player, he got like a lot of bonuses. And I think he leveled up to like level 10, and Mei's just kind of like, oh, okay, all right, cool, that's happening. And the elf is still there, and he's just like, hey, I'm an elf. And
she's like, oh my God, drool.
He's friends with the elves, so the elf goes up to ask him about this human that's with him, therefore recognizing that Mei exists in this world. So Mei
is just like, oh my God, he noticed me. And a little speech bubble pops up, and it says that he has taken interest in the assistant. And she's like,
J-Ho is trying to talk to the elf still, and he's like, he's not even paying attention to me right now, because the elf and Mei are having this small connection. Girl is finally getting noticed by an elf, and she's thrilled, to say the absolute least. But yeah, he goes on his own way, calls her Miss Assistant, and it's a cliffhanger. She goes, I want to be your assistant. And J-Ho's just like,
okay, scary lady.
You know, he's like, what do you mean you want to be my assistant? So I that's where we left off. We get to figure out next time if he accepts her, which I'm sure he will.
Pretty interesting. There was some like little details that I thought were pretty interesting when they talked about time zone, because all of this is a video game, a virtual world that they go to. And she said, oh, what is your time zone? Like, when are you coming back on? Because, you know, they leave the game. And he said, oh, I live in South Korea. And she goes, oh, I live in Korea too. So it was interesting to see that little add-in in there. I wonder if that will tie in a little bit later on.
I bet it will, because he mentions within there too that he had completely forgotten about the automatic translator in the game, which would imply that people from all over the world can be playing this with you at the same time, speaking whatever language they speak, and you will all still be able to understand each other. So it was a valid question to be like, where are you? When will you be back? And they live in the same place. Wondering if they'll ever meet in real life.
I kind of like, oh, I wish I could go to a virtual world like that and escape a little bit.
I think that's the point. That's the point that really drew me in, is just this other world idea in the video game like realm. I was having a conversation with one of our friends about this webtoon, and she brought up this really great book. It's called Ready Player One. And in Ready Player One, the entire idea behind this story is that it's in the future, and they also live like a second life completely online that almost matters more than their real life. They're able to do whatever they want to in this virtual reality, and it's called the Oasis. And that's what this new world reminds me of. And she brought it up, and I had completely forgotten that I'd ever even read that book, but I did, and it's literally is the same, and I always loved that idea where you could go and do and be whoever you want in this other world. Right. In Ready Player One, they actually wind up, like, meeting in real life these characters. They're friends online, and they kind of form a guild and all this, and they meet in real life and, like, have a moving, because their outside world is really dangerous. It's a different story than this one, but I hope that might happen. That would be really cool to see.
It would be exciting. I mean, it is kind of sad if you think about it, because really the only reason he went into this virtual world is to open his flower shop, because that is his dream. But because in real life he has to make his dad proud, and he's allergic to flowers, and he really can't do what he wants to do. So, I mean, it's sad that he has to go into this virtual realm, this video game, just to live out his dream. So I hope that in the future he can find some happiness in the real world.
Man, I hope he can open his frickin' flower shop. Be it virtual or real, I am just dying to find out if J-Ho ever gets this thing that he wants so badly. And that's a huge, obviously, that's the point of the story. So we're going to keep up with this one. I really am looking forward to what is to come.
I'm excited to see what pans out with May too, because she wants to marry an elf.
But that's also virtual.
That's not real, so.
So these are very, very virtual dreams, which is why I'd love to incorporate the real life.
Tyler and I constantly talk about this, how May and J-Ho might end up together, because we're like, especially now that we found out that they live in the same area, will they be an item towards the end? Or wouldn't it be super funny if she meets a person in Korea that looks just like the elf in the video game on the street? Like, it just resembles, like, they look exactly the same without pointy ears. What if he's shopping in his flower shop, and that's how they meet?
Aww.
Because she's the assistant in his flower shop, and it's like a customer.
What if that's what happens in the end, is he gets his flower shop and May and him meet in real life, and she really does become his assistant? It's hard for me not to ship them, because, you know, we're 9 episodes in and I desperately want to ship somebody somewhere, but I totally love where you just went with that. That would be such a cute tie-in. I realize there's not really romance in this story aside from May desperately wanting an elf. I want to draw like a fan art of them in their flower shop and her like shocked because she sees the
and
elf
the customer
boy.
Really likes flowers, so he's there to shop for flowers because, you know, elves really like flowers, and this human customer's like, oh, this one's my favorite. I lost my big brain hat.
Our hats don't agree that this is very big brain, I guess. Mine keeps trying to slide off too.
What if he has I'm like just rewriting this whole story. What if he has like a favorite flower and that's what he buys in the shop?
That would be adorable. Maybe he could get a wife who also loves flowers, or a husband. It has not been established what his preference is.
Oh, J-Ho? Yes. Yeah.
But I hope they could find their people, because that's just all I think about.
Watch us. I hope that happens.
We're,
you know,
hopeless romantics.
We are hopeless romantics. There's this crying over something that, I don't
that
know.
You just made up.
Yeah. I'm like, what if?
What if she meets the love of her life at J-Ho's flower shop in real life when they're working together and he looks just like the elf?
And she's like, oh my god, it's him. Just remember, it was said here. Just remember, big brain moment.
Tiff,
it could either, you know, be the
first.
It'll either be the future, or it will be an evil Andrew moment. We just don't know.
Something's gonna go
down. Either way, it's cute.
So
I'm accepting it.
It's so cute. Yeah, we're loving the Strongest Florist, as you can say, as you can tell. We just gushed about it. So I hope you guys are reading it, and let us know what your thoughts are on the Strongest Florist so far. Do you think that we have anything going for us when it comes to the maybe May and J-Ho, maybe May and someone else? Should we stop trying to insert romance where there is none?
Let us know down below.
Would you join the game and play in Luxie Forest?
Would you go there first?
I don't know if I... Maybe I would, because I do like flowers and elves.
I mean, it does seem like the better option than the desert.
I guess it's easier to be in the desert, but, like, come on. We've learned the secret, though. You just have to befriend the elves by not being a jerk.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see these demons, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited.
But speaking of demons... this is... easily and quickly becoming one of my favorite webtoons on the platform, and it's another one we talked about a few weeks ago when we did our Exploring New Webtoons episode, and that is Devilish Romance, which is another one, much like The Strongest Florist, that's being brought over from Korean webtoon, and oh my god, we are loving it so much.
Yeah, it's filling our void that was left from Devil Number 4. The characters, their personalities remind me so much of the main characters in Devil Number 4, and I don't know, they're even cuter, and I love the backstory too.
We said it last time and I still stand by it. If you are a big fan of Devil Number 4, you will love this. You will absolutely love it because there's like an established ship right off the bat, and now you get to kind of work with the will they won't they of the story and watch it unfold. But the twist is that you get that Devil Number 4 kind of demonology, true crime situation going on underneath it all. The story itself is completely up our alley, and if you are a fan of a lot of the webtoons we read, please, if you're not reading it, just like the last one, we're going up to episode 9 today. You can totally go catch up and then come listen and chat with us about it.
So we left off, we talked previously about the little interrogation with this mother who is being blamed for the murder of her own son.
We were talking about their office and everyone who's in it and how Narcissa and Damon are interrogating this person, and Narcissa doesn't buy these people's acts, and she completely thinks this mother is guilty. She's over the crocodile tears, she's not impressed, and Damon, meanwhile, is like looking at her like, are you a demon? Are you a demon? Why am I itchy? Are you a demon?
Right, because boy gets itchy when pure, innocent people are around him. Like the one time the priest was in there and he was so itchy, scratching all over. He gets rashes. He's like allergic to nice people.
Right. So- and he's feeling that way around her, but it's still so sketchy because this mom, the son that died was Yu Min, and they know that. They're all talking to her about her son, Yu Min, and she suddenly cries out saying, oh, my son, Yu Jin, I miss you so much. And Narcissa's like, you idiot. Like, you don't even, like, in her head, she's like, you don't even know the name of your own son who died. It's really suspicious. It just seems that, so weird.
That whole scene, I remember when I was reading it, I felt a chill. Seeing Damon's expression throughout the whole interview process made you feel that she was innocent, but you knew something was going on and you didn't really know what was happening because she said the wrong name. So you're like, how is she innocent when she can't even remember her own son's name? The whole thing gave me major chills. Yeah. I was like, that is so creepy, but I'm here for it.
It was really weird. I know it's established that she is a little slower. I know that she like qualifies for extra income because she is a single parent. And I think that it's implied that she has something kind of going on mentally, and all that is fine and well, but it's still very weird that she wouldn't even know the name of her son that died.
Right.
So yeah, it's very sketchy, but they get done with the interrogation. Damon's still like, I don't understand why I'm itchy. And Narcissa's like, this bitch.
Narcissa is like, I hate her. She's like, we will bring her down.
And then the two of them get to go home early that day. So this is where like our first romantic comedy trope occurs. I mean, it's not the first, but one of the first in the series. And it's the classic, they are walking out to carpool home when a scooter goes like barreling by really fast. And Damon just instinctively grabs Narcissa and pulls her to him to like protect her. Yes. And I was like,
and she just looks up at him.
She's like, so mad. She's like, don't touch me. It was so cute. There were little blushies.
There was a little blush. She got a little blushy when he pulled her in.
He got blushy.
And then she was mad. She's like, let go.
It was so freaking cute. It was the start. But yeah, they get back to her apartment and they're just doing their usual thing. They're always kind of fighting, having little squabbles, but she makes it clear she's going to go take a bath. at the sauna. And Damon takes full advantage of this knowledge that she's going to go be submerged in some water, decides to take her voodoo doll for another spin and try to drown her.
He is like shoving that in his sink like, I hate you so much.
We're like, you don't even understand your feelings, do you, poor boy?
He was drowning this voodoo doll in his sink, and then we get glimpses of him imagining what's happening to her, but really the sauna was closed, so she never got to go.
Yeah, she comes home and he hears her and he's so mad. He's like, what are you doing? How are you okay? She wants to just go in and go to bed. He's like, well, you should take a bath. And she's like, what? He goes, you fill your bathtub up and get in it. And he's like, you need to take a bath. And she's so creeped out. She's like,
she calls him a pervert.
She's like, you're weird. Why would you? Don't even think about it. I'm not even gonna take a bath. I'm just gonna go to bed. And he's like, no, you have to take a bath. And he like doesn't understand why. It's so creepy.
And like, could you imagine her? Because she is the one that witnessed him dancing in his underwear at like a murder crime scene. And now he's telling her to go take a bath. And she's like, you are such a weirdo. And I feel unsafe. Well, that's how I would feel. I'm sure she's just like, I will kick your ass. But
it was really funny. She goes inside and she's, and this is when we kind of have our little moment where you get to get a glimpse of her in her natural state, and it was so cute. She's in her pajamas and she has like this
in
little
a nightgown.
Yeah, she's like a little stuffed bunny, and I don't know, this like brought a little softer side of her. And I'm gonna retract the idea that she might be a demon because she just seems a little more innocent in that moment, and she thinks back to how he saved her from the barreling scooter in the parking lot, and she remembers it as a little blushy. But then she instantly remembers just minutes ago when he was trying to tell her to take a bath. So
yeah, she's like, that was quickly erased.
No, he's just weird. This kind of story is what feeds my soul.
It's such a good balanced web, too.
It is. It is.
To keep you going.
It is.
So we have her in this, like, nightgown. And I'm telling you right now, it's not, like, a normal nightgown. I felt like it covers her up completely. I feel as if it's a childhood nightgown.
It totally is. Because even later, Damon is like, why are you dressed like that? Like, why do you wear those pajamas?
He's making my eyes bleed.
He's, like, judging her. And the reason he sees her in her pajamas, I guess, is because a pipe bursts in her ceiling from the apartment above her, and all sorts of goofy stuff kind of happens with
that. I'm not gonna lie, I thought that was blood when I first read that.
Well, yeah.
Until like everyone came in to check, I was like, oh my god, did someone just get murdered in her ceiling?
Well, that's what I thought too. I think that was the point. They were trying to make it seem like something really terrible happened, because she like screams and Damon runs over there, but you go and find out it's just rusty water, a pipe burst, it's an old building. And what that boils down to is that her apartment isn't going to be inhabitable for a while. Damon, trying so hard to like put her in the worst situation possible, is like, oh no, you're gonna have to go stay in a very unsafe house. Like, he doesn't realize all the things he's saying are just leading to everyone around him telling him like, oh, you should take her in. He's thinking, well, wait, you want to stay with me? I'm a man. And she goes, do you see me as a woman? And he's like, well, no, I mean, you just it gets so flustered. But he made his own bed, because now this woman is staying with him.
I was actually surprised that she was so willing to do that. Let me go stay with this man that's been driving me crazy and I've been calling a pervert for the last couple of episodes.
He just tried to convince me to take a bath, and I don't know why. I'm gonna go stay in his apartment.
And it's so funny when she goes into his apartment, because she's just touching everything and like picking up his little demon items and like massaging her back with it.
She's like, this is a massage stick, right? It's like this weird walking stick with like a snake eating a bird. He's like, yes. Does that look like a massage stick to you? He thinks the voodoo doll is finally working, because she's like, ooh, ouch. And he's like, yes, because he's like beating the shit out of this voodoo doll. He leaves her, which kind of surprised me. He just like barrels out of his apartment to go yell at the adult product salesman guy because this voodoo doll isn't working for him. And a lot of things happen. A lot of the plot thickens, because first things first is, while he's out in this van, Narcissa's like Where'd he go? I don't even know where the frickin' bathroom is. So she's like wandering around and she finds a picture of Damon when he was just a little boy. And a little big boy.
He's a little chubby monkey.
Yeah, he's a chubby
monkey boy.
That's what we discover.
Yeah, she sees this little family photo of him and she goes, Damon, is that you? Damon goes back to the little adult van to talk to Soonam to just tell him how mad he is about this voodoo doll and how it's not working. He's like, well, look at it. You did a very poor job at drawing her on it. It's your fault.
He's like, I want my money back. And he's like, you can't have your money back for this. You destroyed it.
He just reminds me of that person you see on the streets that are trying to sell you stuff with outrageous prices. That's him. But like, he's like this godly man. What are the prices? It's like,
Damon spent $2,000 for that voodoo doll and he won't give him his money back. So yeah, that kind of sucks. He gives him this look and then we're instantly transported to another big revelation of the series.
I was so shocked. I felt like he was an angel and he's a demon or something like that. But here, they're just brothers.
They're brothers. And they have the same parents. We talked about it last time, how we thought they must have some sort of connection. And they do. They do. Because I'm like, how the heck would have they ever met? He's a demon born into human form. Why is he friendly with this man selling holy items out of a van? You get a little flashback to Damon and Soonam's childhood. And Soonam is his little brother. You see them eating dinner with their parents. And their parents are like, oh my god, Soonam, you stellar kid, you got first in your class again, we're proud of you, son. And then Damon's just over there like shoveling rice down his throat and they're like, Damon, we heard that you didn't write down your goals for the future. And Damon's like, I don't have those. And they're like, okay, sorry, here's some more rice. They're like scared of him.
I don't have future dreams.
He's like, I just want to go back to being a demon.
And then, like, it's just, you know, you keep going with the flashback and he's just laying in his bed, like, hating life.
It's amazing. And Soonam goes in there and he's like, here's some dessert. And he, like, calls him brother. And he's like, I'm not your brother. And he's like, I know that you're a demon who was born into a human body. And I'm like, what?
I know, he's like, you say it all the time and I actually believe you.
He's like, I believe you. But he goes, do you want to know what my future goal is? It's to become someone you need, to become your happiness. And I'm like, what?
We have questions about you, Soonam. We don't understand you. We don't know where you're from. Yes.
I can't. I'm
like, dude, does Damon just not remember you from his past demon life? I'm confused.
Like, did they have a connection in the past? Who knows? I mean, where this story is going, it could definitely get there sometime.
I still feel like he's a fallen angel.
He still is very suspect to us. There's got to be some connection because it's really hard for me to believe that the only reason he's like doing it. Also, the way he's going about this, I'm getting full like alien guy from the History Channel because I'm just like,
yes.
I don't understand what he's doing. He actually winds up giving Soonam more money because he presents Damon with this diet pill, essentially, that will allow Damon to eat whatever he wants and not gain any weight. But in order to buy it, he has to spend more money to be considered a VIP customer. And I'm like,
it's so funny because they're brothers now. We know they're brothers. And he's like, I'm not going to give you these pills until you buy another item from me.
Like, is his entire life goal to just take money from his brother?
I actually love his character.
Oh, it's amazing.
I don't understand him, but he is definitely one of my favorites.
He's amazing. He gives me faint, because I can't stop comparing this to Devil Number 4 in so many ways. He does give me like the faint 313 vibes, but kind of mixed with like weird, creepy God.
Yes, or like Mika in a way.
Yeah.
Like, so we have like Devil 313 and Mika tied together in one body right now.
That's how it needs to be. R.I.P. They're not dead. Their relationship just died.
We just didn't get what we wanted.
I just never saw them kiss, so I'm devastated. So he gets these diet pills. He's going back to his apartment. And this part, I was reading this the other night, and I audibly laughed And then it was followed up by an immediate aww, because he goes into his apartment to find Narcissa like twisting and turning, and then she kicks her blanket off and she's all cold. And you see him grab the blanket, and for a split second I'm like, oh, he's gonna put it back on her. But then he just grabs it and carries it out of the room.
And I was like, oh.
He literally hates her so much, he's just gonna leave her without a blanket at all.
And we get a little glimpse of her, you know, battling some inner demons herself, because she's having some nightmares and tossing and turning. Yeah. And he even comments on it. He's like, oh.
You must be wrestling your inner demons for being such a pain in the ass. David is so salty. He's like the
pops a pill.
He's literally the saltiest man. He's like, screw you, Narcissa. And I'm like, you're gonna fall in love.
We do wake up to her with a new blanket on her. And it was a bigger blanket than the one that he took away.
A nice, big, plush, soft blanket. The cuteness was erased pretty quickly because he did make it clear that he did that because he thought her pajamas were ugly.
So he says... When I was reading that whole transition into the next morning, I was like, oh my God, he drugged him and he's like a nice, good man now. Because you see him making breakfast and he's so happy and he's like, oh my goodness, look at all the food I'm making. And she has this beautiful quilt on her and she's like, oh, I know. Are you making us breakfast?
It looks like, so fancy. And then he's got this ring sitting there and I'm like,
yes.
Boy, what are you doing with that ring? She tries to just sit down and eat something. He's like, why are you eating my food? That's rude.
Like, back it up. I got diet pills now so I can eat whatever I want.
All right, Damon, go off, buddy.
Then she comments, you know, on the ring.
He goes, well, it's not yours.
Well, right. It looks like a woman's ring, though.
And I love his explanation. He doesn't even really explain it well. He's just like, well, I had to buy it to be a VIP customer. And she's like, to wear? And he starts to say adult products. And then he's like, wait, why am I answering your questions? Stop asking me questions.
I love how he just, like, gives no explanation to anything when he talks to her. She must think that he's, like, a total psycho.
I am so looking forward to how the heck they could possibly fall for each other when he is, like, the weirdest man alive. Devil freaking number four vibes all the way around.
All over, but, like, on a more escalated level, it's because he's even weirder than devil number four.
Yes.
Devil number four at least could form sentences and kind of get himself out of situations. This man, no, he just keeps digging and digging. Like, I had to be on the VIP list.
What?
I mean, I feel like his hole was already dug when she saw him in his underwear dancing around.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think you could get any weirder than that. So.
No, he's been weird since day one. She gets a phone call from the chief. Their murder suspect ran away. She got away, which they weren't expecting because nobody thought she was like smart enough to get away. The murder suspect does have another son. Narcissa was right. There's another child out there, and they're doing their best to kind of try and find out if he's probably still alive. Where he's at, yada yada. They determine, okay, he's actually living with his grandmother, so you guys need to go out and look for him because, you know, the suspect got away. It could only mean that she might be out there trying to murder her other son.
When I read that, I was like, wow, this is getting deep. They go and they show up and the boy's not there.
So they show up to this grandma, basically, and find out that the mother, the murder suspect, has already taken her son, and they're supposedly going into the market for food. The grandmother's like, oh, why? You know, is it, what's going on? And they kind of explain it to her, and Narcissa tells her, like, oh, have you heard of your older grandson? And she's like, you Min? Yeah, he's fine. And Damon, he's just like, you didn't know he's dead?
I know, and then you just see Narcissa, like,
she's like,
slap her hand on his mouth, like, stop.
Now it's like now or never, and they are out there looking for this boy because he's probably in danger, and they go to explore an abandoned village, and this is where we are left off this week on episode 9. Narcissa goes into an abandoned home and sees like this dark shadow in a corner with red eyes, and I'm like, is this the moment? Are we gonna see a demon?
What a cliffhanger that was to leave off at. I wonder if she's gonna see a demon for a split second, but then it's gonna flash to be the mom.
I'm wondering if the mom is just sometimes possessed and then sometimes not. But then what also happens, so we've kind of got through the little like rundown of everything that's gone, is on their car ride, Damon is having this conversation with Narcissa, just Completely out of nowhere. It makes no sense to poor Narcissa. She's like, why are you talking about demons? I don't care about your religion. And he's telling her, though, that, like, these pure souls can't be taken over by a demon. Like, it's impossible. So the fact that he's, like, itchy around her, I'm like, is she really a good person? Then where does the demon come in? Because, I mean, you think there's got to be one. That's where the story is headed, right? But where and how and who?
I wonder if this is, like, something a little bit deeper than he knows about. Someone, like, a demon that's beyond his knowledge. And something that I think is going to rub him the wrong way. So maybe it's a demon that got him banished.
Ooh. Because, yeah, they say he was wrongly accused of something. And that's what made him peace out of devildom, and now he's in the real world as a human.
Maybe this guy plays a little dirty. I mean, they all play dirty because they're demons, but maybe he's, like, playing a little bit extra dirty and has all these new tricks and stuff up his sleeves. Why Damon doesn't notice him?
Maybe, because he's really convinced that he would pick up on it, and he isn't. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing he's talking about in the cars. He's like, oh, you humans and your five senses. And Narcissa's like, you're a human too. What is your deal? He's so weird. He's the weirdest.
And she's like, please stop that.
She's like, none of this matters. We need to go about this scientifically and with logic. And he's like, science means nothing to you. Science is stupid, you mere mortal.
I love the way he talks.
Such a weirdo. The way that he's so nonchalant about it, though, she's got to figure out sooner than later that this is what he was or thinks he was or whatever. It would help explain why he was dancing around naked at a crime scene.
I guess that's why we always thought she was a demon too, but now not so much. How is she so comfortable around him? Like, she is weirded out by him, but how is she comfortable, like, traveling alone with him and all this stuff and getting all blushy? But I feel like, you know, her life might have been a little rough, so nothing surprises her anymore. Yeah, so
all her little childhood things like you were talking about, that definitely points toward her having a rough upbringing of some sort, probably. I mean, that's where my mind went as well, and I would not put it past her, but there's definitely something where she seems to think, even though Damon is super weird, that he's not gonna hurt her. Even though he's literally been trying to kill her with a voodoo doll, but not succeeding. And this is where my big brain comes in. So we were talking about Soonam and how Soonam is so weird about how he wants to bring his brother happiness and he's selling him all these weird things, kind of ripping him off constantly. Well, we already think he's kind of sus, but let's play devil's advocate and pretend that he's not sus and he really is trying to do the best for Damon and his life as a human. I wonder if some of these things aren't incredibly calculated. Like, even that voodoo doll, what it wound up doing was pushing Narcissa into living in his apartment with him.
So he is trying to bring happiness in his life. So I think he really is.
Yes, he's like, okay, you're trying to get this girl. I don't know. I think he's got, like, some sense going on there, and he's recognizing this. And I'm like, I think that was on purpose.
And he's, like, giving him these diet pills. I'm sure that's what they're for.
I want to know.
I'm being sarcastic. If you're not watching,
if you're not watching, she was majorly, like, hand quotes there. We definitely are suspect of those diet pills.
Maybe they're truth. If they're, like, truth pills. Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows what that man has up his sleeve? If we think he's evil, if we go around the evil route. What if he's the one that got him banished?
That could actually be a really interesting way to tie everything together, is that he is the reason that Damon was ever banished from the demon realm. And in the same vein, whatever the heck Soonam was before, he was also a human. But maybe it's always been kind of innocent. Like, maybe they were friends and he did it for his own good. He was like, you don't need to be a demon anymore.
Right.
You need to find love. I don't know.
Yeah. Boy's interesting. That's all I gotta say. And I'm ready to figure out a little bit more about him.
Yeah, Soonam is definitely top tier, one of the best characters, and I love him.
I do feel like everything is going to tie together, though, especially with this murder case. Maybe I'll even tie to Narcissa and her past.
All I know is this is unraveling in all the best ways. I am absolutely obsessed with it. You can count on us continuing to talk about it because I just want to see Narcissa and Damon get closer. I want to learn more about this like demon realm of his in this world. I like to see the different demonic realms that people kind of put together in their stories. So I'm really looking forward to maybe seeing some more flashbacks of Damon as this demon. I would like to see him maybe learn to enjoy being a human while he's on this earth as one.
Because we know for a fact that he's yet to enjoy his human life.
Right? So. Aside from eating everything.
Right now, we're only focused on the demon realm. I wonder if angels are going to get tied in later on or if we're just going to stick down here with the hellish side of things. So
it is only brought up. It's brought up briefly in his weird combo in the car, the God thing. He's like, don't you humans pray to God for things? And I'm like, Damon, you're being so weird right now, buddy.
I love him.
So weird. I love him so much.
I love him. It's such a well-balanced webtoon. Go check it out.
100%. If you're reading these webtoons, please let us know down below if you've made it to the end of this episode. I want you to comment adult products.
Yes, adult products. I freaking love that his band says that. That's amazing.
Yes. We love you guys so much. Everyone who sticks around to the end here, you're the best.
Thank you so much for all of your support. We really cherish it a lot and keeps us moving. And don't forget, peeps,
be our friend.